Blog Talk Radio.
It's your girl, LaTanya Moore, here with Real Perspectives. And listen, we have an absolutely fabulous show today. We are going to be talking about something, to me, I thought it was a very new concept until I did a little bit more research. So we're going to be talking about charter schools for adults. And it's really interesting because I did not know that adults without a high school diploma are over 7 times more likely to live in poverty than those with a diploma. And so you guys know recently there was National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. And so a lot of people have been out raising awareness about disparities in adult education and literacy and all of those things. And so we had the pleasure of running across the founder and CEO of Academy of Hope. Now, Academy of Hope is an adult public charter school in the D.C. area, and they have been working to educate the most marginalized adults in D.C. And so they are really hoping to help to narrow the skills gap and to empower this group of individuals to help them break the cycle of poverty. And so we are absolutely honored to have with us Ms. LaKester Johnson. Again, she is the CEO of Academy of Hope, and she is actually going to be here to discuss with us the need, the impact, and best practices for providing adult education across the nation. Now, listen, she's not just doing this, guys. She holds a master's in education specialist degree in transitional special education from George Washington University, and she also has more than 20 years of experience operating in education and workforce development programs. So join me now as we welcome Ms. Johnson to the show. Welcome to the show, Ms. Johnson.
Oh, thank you so much, LaTanya. Thank you so much for having me and for bringing this issue to your audience.
Listen, this is really such a fabulous topic because I've shared a lot with in my speaking engagements and things like that, that I was the first person in my family to graduate from college. And so my father was very, very much about, or is very, very much about education. But unfortunately, I want to say he may have maybe an eighth, maybe a ninth grade education. So when I heard about this and all the work that you guys have been doing, it really was something that struck very near and dear to my heart. So it is my pleasure to have you on the show because I know that there are lots of people out there like myself who had no idea that a program like this existed. So thank you so much for doing this. And tell us, though, what is it that made you say, this is the area that I want to focus, just to focus my whole professional career?
Well, sure. I want to say that I'm not the founder of Academy of Hope. It was actually founded in 1985 by a little Finnish woman. But I have been the CEO of Academy of Hope since 2006, and I moved it from a community-based organization to an adult charter school. But my entire life I've been focused on education, and like you, my parents, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, and my parents migrated from southern Alabama to Birmingham, and they did not have the opportunity to complete their education. And throughout my youth, as I was growing up, my parents really, really pushed getting a good education and that was something that no one could ever take from you. And it just stuck with me. I tell people I started teaching when I was 11. I came from a large family, and I'd forced my siblings to sit in a classroom because I didn't want them to lose learning over the summer. So, you know, sometimes you're just lucky enough to find your calling and to work in that calling. And as I learned more, I started working with individuals with disabilities, but I also started to see that there were a lot of adults who were really struggling with basic literacy, who needed the same kinds of supports. And so when I was working with kids and I made the transition to adults, it was the same issue, you know, but it was with adults struggling with reading, writing, and as a result of that, they were not able to get the kinds of jobs that they needed to really help pull their families out of poverty. And I just saw education as that key to breaking the cycle of poverty for so many families in this country.
Found that in dealing with adults, that there are certain unique challenges when it comes to adult education?
There are some unique challenges in that, you know, adults have very complicated lives. As you think of your life as an adult, if you have children, you're trying to work. You are also trying to go to school. You may also have parents who may be aging. So having something that's really flexible and able to meet their needs is really critical. Also, when you're teaching adults, when we think about children, a lot of times we're teaching the basic skills, and it's not so much focused on how the kids can use what they're learning every single day. For an adult to really enjoy learning or to feel like they're getting something out of it, we need to make sure that the material that we're teaching is relevant to their lives, and when they walk out of the classroom with us, that they can use it in their everyday lives. For example, if we're teaching someone percent, we try and teach them how to take the discount on a sale item because that's something they can use right away. If they're going out to eat, learning percents can help you figure out how much you should tip a person. So making sure that the material that we're teaching in the classroom helps them to get the skills that they need, but it has relevance to their everyday lives.
And that is really just really an awesome technique because I know that again, with my family situation, one thing that I've noticed, and you may have noticed this too, is that there, for whatever reason, and I guess I'm saying for whatever reason, but there's a great deal of shame attached to sometimes for people that feel that they are grossly undereducated or they just, for whatever reason, they're very I guess like limited in what they're willing to do, and a lot of times it boils down, at least what I've seen is, it boils down to shame and being embarrassed about not understanding some of these concepts that the rest of us take for granted. Do you see that with your students, and if you do, what are some tips that your teachers use to kind of help them overcome that?
Absolutely. I mean, many of the adults that we're serving, you know, there's 36 million adults in this country who are struggling with low literacy. So it's not a small number of people. And in Washington, D.C. alone, we're looking at about 60,000 individuals or more who are struggling with basic literacy skills. When an adult walks into our doors, many tell us that the source of shame for them was when they couldn't help their child with their homework, that it was extremely embarrassing when the child brought home fourth grade homework and particularly in math that they didn't even know how to start to support them. Some of the adults that we're serving have even lower skills and can barely read. And wanting to be a good example, children are generally the reason that we see a lot of the adults coming back. They want to be a good example for the children that they're raising, and not having that high school diploma or not being able to do basic reading and math is just a real source of shame. So when someone walks through our door, we right away start celebrating the fact that they walked through the door. You know, it's baby steps for people because it's going to take a long time for some people to get their skills up enough that, one, they can pass the GED exam, or even for some, they want to be able to read, just a small book to their child. But we celebrate the first success, which is walking through the door, and our goal is to hold on to them throughout the process until they're sitting in a class and providing all of the supports that they need to stay motivated and excited. The one thing that we tell people, teaching reading, writing, and math is hard, but the hardest part of our work is changing mindsets of the adults that we're serving. Many don't see themselves as successful learners, so we really do a lot of work helping people to see that they can do this, that they have the skills, and tapping into the strengths that they already bring into the door. So that's the hardest part of our work. Once we get people to believe that they can be successful learners and successful readers, then it's a little easier for us to start to build the skills that they need to pass the exam or to be able to read that first book.
And that's really key. I love the fact that that you have a built-in celebration or celebratory or milestone kind of thing, because I would think that it would be very easy to get discouraged. You know, again, you have all these, you know, life responsibilities that are kind of coming at this particular group. But I know that you mentioned that there are several ways that organizations across the nation can really help to do their part and close the adult literacy gap. What are some of the things that you would suggest that some of the organizations that are working in this space can do?
One of the first things we say is raise awareness. As you said in your opening remarks, that people just aren't aware that there are people who are really struggling with basic literacy. I think one of the most important first steps is sharing with people that there are, particularly in September when we, you know, when everybody's going back to school, that kids aren't the only ones going back to school, that there are many adults going back to school. And also sharing that when parents improve their skills, that children also improve their skills. So that's, you know, the awareness is the very first piece, and that's why we have the National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. And then the other thing that we say, you know, if you encounter someone who's, you know, if you're at a bus stop and it's a person who says, you know, I don't know, I'm really confused, they changed the bus routes on me, sometimes, you know, or they couldn't see something, that could be an indication that this person is really struggling with basic literacy skills. Read the signs to the person. Just assume maybe they're struggling with reading and read the signs. Or, you know, read the bus map, because what we know is that people who are struggling with some of the lowest skills have a really difficult time reading things like bus maps or, you know, directions on a recipe or things like that for daily living. So just have a little compassion and, you know, step out there and just, you know, maybe read something, because a person won't say that I can't read this. They will say I left my classes, and that's not everybody, but sometimes that's a telltale sign.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned, again, as you were speaking about that, I just sort of got these flashbacks of growing up. You know, it would be things I can remember, my sister and I talking about this, where we would ask, like we'd ask my dad, what is this and what is that? And he'll say, go look it up in the dictionary. He would never, but mm-hmm, we had no mm-hmm. idea. We just thought, you know, again, just deflecting, always deflecting. Again, I think that goes along with the shame, and you guys are doing such great work. But you mentioned National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week, which I know, unfortunately, guys, has just passed us by. Tell us a little bit, though, about the importance of National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week.
Well, we have 1 week that we really try and raise awareness about the need for and the importance of adult education in this country. So it happens nationwide. I will say that the week has passed, but I think that every single day is National Adult Education and Family Literacy Day or week, because there's so little awareness. So just because that window of the week has gone, there's still opportunity to really raise awareness with your local officials. You know, what we started to do locally here in D.C. is just have council members raise the issue. When they're talking about education, just ask the question, what are we doing about adults with low literacy? Sometimes that just sparks it. People just forget, because so much of our attention is focused on kids. And, you know, we've always said that the education conversation should not be kids or adults, it's an and conversation, and we should be talking about kids and adults who need these basic services, because when we make an investment in an adult with low literacy, it benefits children. Parents who have a high school diploma or higher education, their children are more likely to complete high school or persist to a high school diploma. Parents who have a high school credential or some college do better financially, which means that they're likely to help their kids get out of poverty. Because if they're making better wages, of course, kids are living a better life. So we sometimes talk about, you know, pulling kids out of poverty as if they are that the kids can do it themselves, but it really is about the family getting out of poverty. So I think, you know, every week, I mean, it's really important for people to just raise the issue because it's one of those issues that we just don't talk about. We forget when that kid drops out of high school at 13 or 14, we forget that those kids exist. And those kids, if they're not connected to services, become the adults who are struggling with basic skills.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you specifically doing there at the Academy of Hope that you feel is really making a difference there in D.C.?
You know, one of the things that we, you know, as I mentioned before, is we focus on the basic skills, the reading, writing, and math. So we start at the very lowest level. For people who are non-readers, we have courses for them. We offer courses day and evening because we want to fit into the schedules of adults who are working or those who aren't working or have kids. But we don't stop at just the basic skills. We certainly prepare people to pass the GED exam because that's a number of people who are coming in to do that. But we also are focused on helping them to gain as many skills as they can to go on to college or advanced training. In this region, in the D.C. area, what we know is that 71% of all jobs by 2018 will require something beyond a high school diploma. So even if we help people get the high school diploma, they still need more skills. So we say we go from non-readers all the way to college and getting people to college and post-secondary degrees. And we've had a number of people to get their start with us in the basic skills and go on and get a bachelor's degree. We had our first doctorate about 3 years ago. So it's never too late for adults. We also do workforce training because many of the adults who are coming in are working low-wage jobs. So as they build their skills, we also help them to get workplace credentials so that they can get their high school diploma, but at the same time get higher-level job skills so that they can get a better-paying job. And then the final part, I think, that makes our work really successful is that we provide what we call wraparound support services. Many of the adults that we're serving are living in really fragile situations financially, and things fall apart right in their educational program. Housing falls apart, or people will lose their job, or their hours will get cut, and they don't have the money, you know, to pay rent or food. But we have a team of people here who are right there ready to help people deal with those issues so that they can continue to get their education, because we know once they get that high school diploma or high school credential, there it's going to pay off in the long run. We also know even if they don't get the high school diploma, that there is some research that supports that as they improve their skills, that the economic outcome improves even if they don't necessarily get that high school diploma right away. There is an economic benefit to improving your reading, writing, and math skills. So we provide...
Absolutely. I think... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay.
No, I was just going to say I love the fact that you brought that up because I know that with our demographic, that's definitely going to be a question. You know, what happens to the people that for whatever reason they're not able to do that? So to know that just the fact that you learn a new skill or you improve or develop skills that you didn't have, and how that there's a direct economic impact on these particular individuals, I think is really great because we live in a global society, and sometimes it's just the difference mm-hmm. between knowing how to use a computer and not knowing how to use a computer that can just take you to another level, not just in career but in business as well. And so I think it's really important that we all support programs like yours that are going on in D.C. and other parts of the country. Tell our listeners, what are some things that people like us, what can we do to help you guys further your mission there?
I think one of the things that we use volunteers. We have paid staff, but we also have a volunteer corps. If you are in your local community, if you find your local literacy council, or I think generally literacy councils, you know, see if you can volunteer. Sometimes a one-on-one tutor really can be very helpful in helping individuals to improve those skills a lot faster. So we have our adults, they're in our classes where they're taking classes with a professional teacher, but we also pair them up with tutors for one-on-one tutoring or small group. And many of their students are so happy to get that one-on-one tutor to help them get the extra support. So I would say volunteer. If there's an opportunity to volunteer in a literacy program, please, you know, go out and give your services that way.
Awesome, awesome. Great advice, great advice. So where can our listeners learn more about you and what you guys are doing?
You can find us on the web at aohdc.org, and it'll give you a lot of information about Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter School. Or if you don't have access to the Internet, you can give us a call at 202-269-6623. And if you're looking for services or you're looking to volunteer, we can either get you connected to Academy of Hope or get you connected to other programs.
Well, awesome. This has been so enlightening and so delightful. And, again, I am just really excited about what you're doing. I think that it's one of, and I'm really not just telling you this, but it's really one of the better put together adult literacy programs that I've seen. And I've seen a lot of programs in a lot of states, and they just aren't as together as this one is. And so kudos to you, Ms. Johnson, for all the work that you're doing there at the National Adult Literacy Program, Academy of Hope, Adult Public Charter School there in D.C., and thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for just spreading this message. People just need to know that we have a lot of people out there who need these services. Thank you.
You're welcome, and listen, anytime you guys reach out to us, we'd love to do what we can, you know, to continue to help you spread the word. And if 3 days from now you think about some things that we can do or I can do personally, certainly feel free to reach back out to us. And if we can help you, we definitely will.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, guys, listen, you heard it from the lady herself. I'm LaTanya Moore, your host of Real Perspectives. Until next time, have a great day. We'll be right back.